Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today we are doing a second episode of Dungeon Death Sentence. And with me today are the other members of the execution team. Onyx.
Hi, I'm new here.
Yes, you are. We can't wait to get you stringing people up. We also have Raz.
Hello, I'm the sleepy headsman.
Adorable. And we also have Sky.
Hi. I'm real eager. You don't even have to commit a crime, I'll just kill you.
Innocent, guilty, don't fucking matter.
This is America.
It is not. I refuse.
Three of you are in Canada.
Yeah, I refuse.
You have no opinion on America. I'm the one who gets to say an opinion, America. And... Look, I'm not saying that I did watch somebody get gunned down for wearing the wrong hat, but I saw somebody get gunned down for wearing the wrong
hat. Did you gun them
down? Oh, God, Hat Man.
Hat Man!
Hat Man's dead?
Yes, Hat Man is dead. And his partner in crime, Cat Man, has finished all the funeral.
It's such a shame he wasn't super fast or super strong.
But he could... He's a master of disguise.
But at least he was safe from the sun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we all knew that he was balding.
By choice.
That receding hairline, though.
Yeah.
Got that widow's peak.
Oh, no.
By choice. Don't at so, me.
So what's going on? I'm new here, and I'm first day on the job. What's going on, Coop?
Pull the lever, Kronk.
And bite down on this.
Oh.
Oh.
Wait.
No. Not yet. First, we run you through a scenario, tell you, you know, both sides of the story, and then we decide which side we stick with, and then we pull the lever.
That's right. Too eager. It's Kanan.
Is there a third option where we could say they're both wrong and kill them all?
No.
Aw.
I feel like we could.
No.
There's
Nah.
We have to make the hard decisions.
There's only two sides to this argument. There isn't a third.
There is no option C, either or both.
I like both.
No.
I always pick both. In all the games where it's like, choose who you're going to save, I usually walk away.
Ah. Mass Effect 3 was a hard ending for you.
No. Are you kidding? It was easy.
I become the machine.
No, I just shut the game off and didn't finish. Who knows what happened?
You're forever in mystery. I'm pronouncing words weird today if you're questioning.
Oh, as always, your grasp of the English knowledge is awesome. His mouth is always full, but
I'm eating fruit! It's a good time to eat fruit.
Sure is, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That fruit you're eating.
Now tell the fucking story, mate.
Alright, so the first up to the gallows is a scenario I like to call PvP Pirate Ship.
Hey, is this from Mars?
It is not, but it's one of the reasons I chose this one.
Can you imagine just real at me silently, ruining our entire thing?
So basically, this player group has been playing for a while. They had just boarded an enemy ship. They had their own and then basically just acted like pirates and boarded this other ship that was attacking them. Which was for some reason manned by a bunch of cultists. I don't know why, but that's apparently the scenario. They were pirate cultists. And so after the whole encounter, they killed all of them except for the first mate, who surrendered. Now, the sorcerer of the group wanted to keep this first mate as a prisoner, seeing as, you know, there's no need to kill her after she gave herself up, and it also turned out to be a childhood friend of that character. However, two other party members, a wizard and a cleric, I believe, wanted to execute the prisoner just in general, because they're just like, no, like, all of them need to die. Anyway, that discussion went on and on and on, and basically it ended up with the sorcerer fighting the wizard and cleric, because she's just like, if you want to kill this prisoner, you're going to have to get over, you know, my body to do it. And so they ended up fighting. However, the actual, like, fight they previously just had was, like, pretty difficult. They all only had, like, 12 HP left, so it was over in a couple rounds. But long story short, the wizard and the cleric won over the sorcerer, because the cleric was a half-orc, got back up with 1 HP, and knocked out the sorcerer, and then proceeded to kill the prisoner. So obviously the sorcerer character was upset, but so was, like, the player. And, like, the DM felt pretty bad for, like, the actual, like, player, because, you know, who wants their actual character to just completely get knocked out by, the teammate? But the question here is, should the DM have interfered with this scenario at all, or should he have just done what he did and just taken a step back and let the actual players handle the situation as they saw fit?
I already pulled the lever. You talked too long.
Well, the first mistake is there's a sorcerer and a wizard in the same party.
Yeah, what the fuck is that balance?
Like, wait, so there is only these three characters, and that, no, wait, that's not the discussion. That's not the discussion. They had no melee characters.
The cleric. It was a half-orc cleric.
Wait, hold on. You're acting like you don't only need a level one cleric to level Tiamat. Like, clerics are the strongest goddamn class in the goddamn game. The fact that this brave little sorcerer decided to 1v2 a cleric doesn't even matter. The cleric's a fucking half-orc to boot.
Props to the sorcerer.
Yeah!
To the balls! Yeah, right? Who took the cleric down. The only reason why the cleric got up is because he was a half-orc.
Yeah,
exactly.
Props to the... Okay, so basically the question is, did the DM do the right thing by letting the players play this out, or should he have intervened and saved everybody from doing this? Absolutely not. This is 100% a player interaction. Whatever happened, happened. It sucks, and that player is probably going to be pretty pissed. But it's D&D. She can always bring her friend back. There's resurrection spells.
That's like a whole year into the adventure later.
I mean,
before that could ever happen.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. But that being said, maybe she could pay off the cleric to cast, like, that stupid spell that keeps their body fresh.
No, the cleric's obviously not going to do it, because they wanted to just kill him anyway.
Well, then she can slit both their throats in their sleep, and they can both do the characters, and she'll go, well, fuck you guys. I mean, really, there are options. But no, the DM, if the DM would have intervened, I feel like it would have stopped the RP. So, I mean, if there was no RP and it was just two groups of players arguing, 100% intervene. But if it was all in-game, no, there's no reason to get in between that, unless, like, tempers are really high. I don't really see a problem with this. That's part of the game. Shit happens.
Look, I think the DM should have stepped in.
Nah.
By not, like, stopping the players from fighting each other, but letting the first mate escape from their binds.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, they could have. They definitely could have while they were all fighting, but we don't know. Like, was that person just unconscious? Was the person just tied up? Was the person...
They surrendered, so it sounds like they didn't knock him out. Probably only tied him up. But so the DM, that's something that the DM could have done to allow... It would have made it to where one player didn't feel so singled out by the party in this situation. Like, the sorcerer had all the reasons to fight for their person, because they didn't want to see somebody they were close to die. And there was actually no reason for the other players to kill this person, because they had him secure, trapped, right? Surrendered. So there was no reason for them to kill this person in the first place.
We don't know like, if just going off what they said, mm-hmm. yeah, 100%. But we don't know what led up to this. We don't know the fight that took place on the pirate ship beforehand. The fact that they are on a pirate ship in the middle of the ocean kind of really limits where that person can go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
Just takes the other ship.
Well, you can't sail a ship by yourself. I've tried.
Yeah. The first mate also couldn't kill all of them because they needed them as much as they... needed them as much, otherwise they'd die in the middle of the ocean.
I mean, technically you can't sail a ship with three people. It'd be really fucking hard.
But yeah, no, I'm saying that the DM could have done the most minimalistic of interference by letting the first mate escape their binds while the party was fighting. Like, they didn't notice that they escaped
or
during
to
that
even,
conflict.
Now that I think about it, you're right, to even the odds.
Make yeah, because two on...
Yeah.
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 It sounds like the sorcerer whooped their ass anyway. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sorcerer fucking... Maybe the DM didn't want to step in because that sorcerer was fucking taking
like
names.
Like, owning it.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard call because it's not really... it's not like the DM fucked up. It's just...
No. DM didn't fuck up. It was just party squabble. The two who really fucked up in this situation were the two players who kind of fucked over the sorcerer on that one.
It really it really kind of harkens back to when me and Onyx were fighting over killing Santa.
You fucker.
I mean, Sky did not step in at all, really. It was just... Right? So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You kind of want to let the party play it out. But I can see where you're coming from. Maybe.
What about you, Sky?
Yeah.
It's
well, he already pulled the lever.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I accidentally did kill all of them. No. It's actually a weird one. Normally I'm all in for like the huge debates and arguments, but this one's so complicated because normally I'm 100% against player versus player combat in D&D because unless it makes sense, like it's a big arc and there's like a big fight. This just seems like two stubborn players who were making an evil act for kind of no reason. I probably would have intervened before even the fight. Like, if the RP was really going on, and as Raz said, in-game, it was all, like, huge, absolutely, fucking take a step back, you know, go grab a coffee, let them go to town on each other, right? But, like, if it's just, like, this, like, oh, I'm putting in my this player's childhood friend for fun, and now they're gonna kill him for no reason other than the fact that he was just a bandit. It's, like, let's maybe make some checks, make some rolls, have some RP, understand the situation. Maybe don't commit evil acts for no reason.
Oh, okay.
Characters are evil.
I was just gonna say they're stealing a pirate ship to become pirates. I don't think they're good people.
Who knows? True, but I don't.
They're
know.
Also cultists.
Yeah, there's nothing evil than a cultist.
But at the same time. What they did was an evil act because the person surrendered,
mm-hmm.
was probably unarmed, and was also bound. So basically, they killed somebody who was completely defenseless.
They committed an act of mercy only to try to re-kill. And I don't know about me, but even almost all the characters, I have a little bit of sympathy, even if I'm playing evil. If, like, I knew this guy from childhood, and I would like to conversate and talk. Even my most evil mm-hmm. characters are going to be like, all right, well, we killed everybody else. This guy's not a threat. Cool, let's talk, or do whatever you need to do. My character's still raging from blood. I'm going to go peace out to the aft, or whatever the fuck. I'm not going to be like, all right, now I'm going to go kill my friend who I've been adventuring with for, like, months. Like, that's so insane to me. That's...
Mm.
It could probably be the chaotic evil trope. Maybe one of them is chaotic evil and they're falling into that hole where they have to kill everybody. Like, we don't know.
Jeez.
We don't know. And a lot of people do. I'm chaotic evil. I have to kill everybody I meet. It's like, no.
But here's what I do know from hearing everything that Coop read off. Is that from that point onwards, there's always going to be animosity between the players now. And there's always going to be that moment where the sorcerer is going to kill those players, and then they're going to be pissed off that they got killed, and it's just going to probably throw the whole campaign into a fucking
flusterclip. I don't know if I would adventure with them anymore. I'll be honest.
But that's just it. There's no way to win that, because if the DM would have sided with the sorcerer and that person got away, the wizard and the cleric would have been pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And because the DM didn't, the sorcerer is pissed off. So either way, that party has a split.
Yeah. So
no, like, no matter what.
If you have like a group of good friends, like let's say us, like we can get by it more than likely. But like if it's if it's strangers or if it's fully in RP, personally, if it was I was just with a random group of strangers and that happened to me, I probably would just leave the group completely. Yes. Let alone like my sorcerer would not continue adventuring with this. You betrayed everything on my trust. Like,
yeah, I'd burn the ship. Watch it all burn.
Yep.
No, whatever. RP safe. I'd just pack my things up and go home.
So, my vote is yes, the DM should have done something. Yeah. However, it should have been slight.
Yeah, I don't think it should have been like, you guys can't do any of this. I think it should have been like minor intervention.
Just the prisoner escaping out of their binds.
I guess that's one thing.
Even out the fight. Whatever.
My vote is...
Don't let the fight happen unless it's for a reason. I don't know. We kill the two players.
Kill them all.
Okay.
I vote, yep. Kill them all. Should have done something.
All right, this is an everyman one. I've already pulled the lever and killed them all.
The players shouldn't have been as hardcore as they were, and the DM should... Yeah, it's too hard to call. Kill them all.
Alright.
I thought we were pulling the lever on the DM's inaction.
No, I pulled it all on all five of them or four of them. So.
See, I would have just gone with the DM, but yeah, I do agree that the players were a little too like into that. Like, it's like any of them could have shut that down easily, I feel. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good job, guys.
Everyone's dead. Oh god. I thought we literally just went over the fact that we aren't allowed to vote like this.
I told you, it's gonna happen.
Okay, so the second scenario is called Wizarding Conundrum. And this debate more goes around why wizards can know more spells than they can prepare and cast in a day, or at least between long rests.
Good mechanic question.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting discussion that I found about it, and so I kind of wanted to bring light to it. And so the player was basically trying to argue with his DM that wizards should be able to, like, prepare more spells in a day. Because basically, like, at the end of the long rest, you prepare all the necessary components, and as quite a few spells have a lot of the same like basis, like fire spells are going to be rooted in the same type of magic, so all you really necessarily need to prepare is like the different components that separate the different types of spells, and probably a few other things as well. So he should be able to actually prepare more spells if they're same or from the same like type of school or element or something like that. And the DM counters with no, because spells are more like music. Like, I don't have any musical background, so maybe those that do have that kind of background can speak better to this. The DM was a self-taught pianist, and he finds that he knows roughly like a couple dozen songs, but can only properly like memorize and play off the top of his head like four or five, maybe with a bit of stumbling added to it, but I don't quite know. So basically, if he wanted to be able to play all 11 songs, he would need like all the sheep music to act as like refreshers, like that's separate all the songs and stuff like that. And basically, like, in order to actually cast a spell, it's such a like finesse thing that you need to get every component, every aspect, to all of like the chanting, all this kind of stuff correct in order to cast the spell without any type of error or failure. And that would be like playing a song on the piano perfectly without any errors. So actually being able to only prepare like four or five spells makes sense, because you're only able to hold on to so much information in your head for those spells. So Yeah, the question comes down to, do you agree with the player's idealism towards wizarding spells or the DM's?
I'm with the DM. That player's going into the wrong mindset.
Yep.
Like, I get it, you know. Hey, here's evocation, right? I should be able to cast all evocation spells. But, again, your mind has only got so much capacity for memorization in that one day to be able to cast the spells that you have. That's why there's the whole preparation in the morning for, like, clerics and druids and wizards. It's like, there's only so much that you can have ready before your body's like, mm-mm, can't prep anymore. I'm spent.
Is this a 5e question?
I believe so.
If it's
or any edition, actually.
Well, no, because if it's a 5e, so it's a little bit different. If it's a 5e question, the guy shouldn't fucking complain because he can cast any spell he knows at any fucking time. If it's an earlier edition question,
yeah, then I
fuck
see.
Off, because once you cast that spell, it's fucking gone. Yeah.
If it's 3.5 or Pathfinder, you're fucking hooped. Even second edition.
Yeah, like
yeah, because you got the spell prepared. You can spend any spell slot to do it with.
Yeah, whereas in the older editions, yeah, it's like, ooh, I want to cast magic missile. Okay, how many do you have prepared? One. You can cast it once.
Can you cast it at a second level? Negative.
Nope.
Did you prepare it as a second level? No. You're a hoop. I think the DM's analogy is very good from a musician's standpoint.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think mechanics are the way they are. If you want to do some lenient stuff for your players, maybe something to their story or backstory, by all means, but changing something up just because you feel that it's different, that enters in homebrew category. So, and that's that'll always be up to the DM.
And really, I mean, the player just sounds like he feels underpowered and wants to do more. And
yeah,
in 5e he has his cantrips, and that's exactly what cantrips are. It's that easy spell that you don't need to worry about. I think it's basically muscle memory now. Yeah, I mean, you can't be giving him. He wants to memorize more spells. Find a way to raise your intelligence. I mean, really, shut the fuck up.
We're hanging the player.
Yeah, player's totally wrong in this.
I don't think we should hang him. Maybe we should just teleport him into a state of never-ending anxiety.
I'd rather hang him.
Get the jagged guillotine. This guy needs.
Oh, we'll bring out the old.
This guy needs to feel it.
The jagged.
Pull the lever
again. Okay. Wow, so smooth.
Yeah, the one with the rusted edge.
Yeah, and the serrated blade.
That one went way quicker.
It's not serrated natural like. By design, no, it's just had chips and stuff in it, so now it's serrated and rusty and gross.
His head's still like half attached.
Yeah, and they leave it there, and you die from tetanus.
I don't think you die from tetanus in the. I think it's mostly the blood loss, but yeah.
Oh shit,
that's fair.
All right, Coop. Do you have a third one, or is that it?
I do have a third one.
Is it good?
It's my favorite.
Ouch.
I couldn't stop laughing at this for like 10 minutes after I read it. And I call it the glory of natural 20s.
Okay. Uh-oh.
God. Yeah, you guys know where this is going.
I feel we've all had this conversation.
It's coming back, baby. Here we go.
Yeah. So the player's argument is, I rolled a natural 20. And didn't persuade this guy. How? You just don't want me to succeed the check because it doesn't fit in with your plans. To which the DM counters with, okay, walking up to a bandit leader and saying don't be a criminal does not succeed. He's mildly amused enough to not to kill you, which is a small miracle in and of itself, but he's a murderer who has spent the past decade of his life killing civilians and robbing them. he's not just going to completely alter his lifestyle without some sort of significant threat or promise of reward. So, yeah, do you agree with the player that Nat20s should just kind of be all-powerful, or with the DM that it should fit in with the rules of the world?
Matt Mercer effect in play here.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Nat20s mean absolutely dick shit on skill checks.
It even says in the rulebook.
Yeah, all it does is, ooh, you got a 20? Sweet. Then what's your diplomacy skill? 4? 24? Yeah, you're not changing his mind.
Well, even if you get a nat 20 and like some DM is ruling like that homebrew rule, right, where it's like, oh, nat 20s always succeed. Yes, the DM's correct. This guy ain't gonna kill you yet.
Yeah.
You got your foot in the door for a conversation. Other than that, you saying, stop being a bad guy. Fucking what?
But again, that's the Matt Mercer effect, where a natural 20 makes everything okay. Makes the impossible happen. And it's like, No. Yeah, and you're right, Onyx. The guy's not killing you. You could have walked that door and you could have slit your throat. But he's like, okay, yeah, I won't kill you. Now get the fuck out.
I think Matthew Mercer actually changed that up a bit in season 2. Because there was like a really high DC intelligence check that one of the characters had to make. And it was like DC 25. So he had to roll a natural 20 to get it. Because he has a +5 bonus.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of backed up a little bit on it. But I'm not 100% sure.
Go ahead.
I've also changed the way I've done Nat 20s through the many years of DMing, but I think I've happily settled in the case. Like, yes, you succeed wildly, but not like something insane happens because of it. In combat, we can get fun with it because combat's a little bit different. But out, you know. Just because you're not 20 doesn't mean that everything is going to work exactly as you should. In fact, sometimes I like to do the monkey paw, where you succeed way too well and maybe something happens as a repercussion to it.
But I mean, even then, you're rewarding the net, because a nat 1 means nothing in skill checks either.
No, but you fail. Correct. Spectacular.
Right? But you don't. I mean, because like look at rogues. Yeah. Rogues are an example where at a certain level, if they roll under 10, it counts as a 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean...
And then, like, a bard who has, like, a +13 in a skill, they roll a 1, that's still a 14.
Or artificers in general.
Somebody, like... Say what?
I said artificers in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With their +14 on every check.
Basically, like... yeah. So, I mean, yeah, 1s and 20s don't matter.
They don't matter. I mean, you could play them for fun RP, I think, but in other words, if you roll a 1, you have a 14, that's still a 15. That still succeeds.
Mm-hmm. Look, if you, as a DM, want to rule that nat 20s are good, don't just make it an automatic success. Give, like, the player a +5 bonus if you're trying to homebrew it, right? So, just give them a little bit more to their stuff. In this conversation, in this moment right now, DM is correct. No.
Yeah, no. And I mean, let's face it, even if you're given the +5, so say you do a skill check with and you get a 20, even if you give them that +5, like, how hard is that skill check? Like, you don't get any bonuses for getting a butt. Like, if a DC is 15 and you get a 23 on your skill check, it's not like you get a bonus for it.
Yeah,
like, right. It's just, oh, you did it good for you, right? So I mean, it doesn't yeah, the DM's 100% right. That player just needs to go away.
In other versions where math actually matters, such as like Pathfinder I fully get like rolling at 20 would give you plus, like in my game of Thursdays for Pathfinder, if you roll at 20 it gives you +10. Nat 20 on initiative means you have +10 to your initiative. Plus whatever you add on top. So, like, and that adds, that math matters. But in 5e, math doesn't fucking matter. Numbers are in such small proportions that adding on an extra 5, if your DC is already at 25, impossible is already, I think, 20. So, like...
Yeah, but I mean, like, in Pathfinder, though, you can have DCs of, like, 40.
Yeah, of course.
But you also have, like, plus 25 to your skill. So, I mean... Yeah, that's a whole different can of worms, man.
But so I don't get this +5 on top of that 20, so that's I mean, I would just...
Not in 5e.
Yeah, and not 20. If you're above the DC, you succeed. Maybe we do something colorful for RP purposes. But I don't believe you just... You get everything you want. That lucky dice roll.
No.
What do you think, Coop?
Oh, I 100% agree with you guys. The DM is in the right. It just made me laugh so hard because I was like, this is totally like a new player who's just like, what do you mean net20s don't do everything?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you're
definitely been
watching
the wrong shows.
All right, I'm gonna say I've built this insanely large D20 and we're gonna trap him inside it until his air runs out and roll him around until he dies.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I like it.
Oh, if I can put a good example of where nat 1s and nat 20s in a skill check being like crit successes and crit fails are terrible. It's a show called The Unexpectables.
It's a show called Ready, Set, Roll.
No. That's how Craig runs it. I don't run it like that. But like it's called The Unexpectables. Basically, the DM, like if they roll a nat 20, they get whatever the fuck they want. And if they roll a nat 1 on a skill check, everything goes to shit. And they roll severity on it. Like if they roll a nat 1 on a stealth check, everything in the entire area knows you're there and you're fucking dead. And some shit like that.
Well, that's
and that's a terrible mindset to put into like people who are new to D&D, don't understand it, and how that can completely ruin a campaign where one bad stealth check just fucking kills everyone. I don't know, man.
The only reason why, they have no place in skill checks at all. I mean, combat makes sense because you want that crit. And to have a crit, you need to have the opposite side of the spectrum where it's a critical miss. You need that. You have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, sure. But yeah, skill checks, there's no place for 20s and 1s in skill checks.
So D20, roll him around until he can't have air?
Sounds good.
The only thing a lot of people do before we throw this guy I'm kicking the D20 around now. But if you fail, with more than like, because there's some skill checks you have to do in D&D that actually say if you fail with more than 5, so let's say you need a 10 and you roll a 4, something extra happens. There actually are mobs who have that in their stat block.
So, I mean,
that already is kind of playing into an effect. So, really, I don't know. It's, I don't know. Anyway, I kicked a 20 around. Yeah, he's done. Throw him off a cliff, see if he survives. Put him in the freezer. That's what we do with bad dice, right?
What, so we can smash him?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway. Thank everybody for tuning in and listening to our second episode.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm not a thumb today.
Hey.
Looks like DMs are coming out on top today. But I would also like to thank the other executioners of today. Sky?
I killed too many people.
Or just the right amount. Thank you as well, Raz.
I talk too much when I'm tired.
And last but not least, Onyx, thank you.
This was a learning experience. I'm very happy for the opportunity. Do I get the job?
No.
Oh.
But you don't get killed.
Woo!
All right, okay. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.